I was kind of thinking about how we were going to do this. Today's going to be more of a topical study. So it's kind of something, and it's even slightly devotional. So let's go ahead, open up your Bible, and go to Revelation 1. Gentlemen, Bibles, Revelation 1. Well,
he's like watching people walk
over. All right. So we're going to start out in Revelation 1. We're going to transition. We're going to kind of do a couple of different things here. And I want to start out how in Revelation 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ in all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of his prophecy, and keep those things which are written there, for the time is at hand. All right. So I wanted to start there. What is significant? I want you guys to think about this, knowing about John, the Apostle John. What is significant about the book of Revelation in John? You guys, some of you have grown up in church. Some of you may know the answer. Anyone? No one, huh? No one's ready to come forward. What was that? So, well, okay, let's try to rephrase this. What is significant about John and when he wrote Revelation? What was happening historically at that time? What happened to John? Thank you, yes. He was put on an island. That's where I was going with this. And I want to open this up like that. What would you do? What would you bring with you if you were sentenced to an island or you were stranded on an island? We don't know for how long. Your automatic give me is you have your Bible. I want you guys to think about this. We'll give it a second. What's the one thing you'll bring with you if you're ever stranded on an island? Your Bible's automatically with you. What's one thing that you would bring with you to the island? Bryce, I'm going to start with you. Your sister? Okay. Oh, wow. He even picked one. Oh, wow. Hey, let's not go there. What's yours, Elias? One thing you bring with you to if you're going to be stranded on an island. One thing. Fishing pole? Okay, good answer. Brendan. You're going to be a fishing pole too? Oh, he's going to be bait? Yeah, you're going to bring Eli. That's interesting. I like that. Lucas. A what? A blicky? What about you, Jackson? You don't know? All right. Brianna? Ayla? These no, I don't know. Well, hopefully today you'll start thinking a little bit differently. Kendra? All right, you're going to...
I was just going to say lighter.
Lighter? Hey, you know what? That ties in because Kendra's bringing Nick. Nick's bringing a lighter.
Yeah.
Fire!
Yeah, man-made
fire. You know what? Actually, you know what? In a survival situation, that is one of the first things you need to do is establish fire. And it doesn't even matter if you're in the desert. That's one of the first things they tell you in survival. Second one is water.
I can make water. If I can make fire, I can boil whatever I'm drinking in water. I find.
All right, Hallie, what are you going
to
bring?
A box full of stuff to send my location to people in the Offset Island.
One thing.
Yeah, that's a box that has stuff in it. I'm being one of it.
No, you know, cell phone. Cell phone, all right.
You have better luck with cell phone than
me. Audrey, what would you bring?
Food.
What kind of food? You got to narrow it down. Do you remember John was stranded on the island for many years when God revealed Revelation to him? So his provisions were provided for. You have your Bible. Hey, ladies.
You can turn around. Sorry.
Yeah. The days of the footrest are going away. All right. Wait, you got to be more specific. So I will say I'll bring my husband. My husband's going to bring a wider. You know, so that's good. Or Brendan's going to take his cousin. And then Brendan's going to bring you because you're bringing a fishing pole and he's going to use you as bait. So. All right, Emma, what would you bring?
Can I bring a boat?
How are you going to carry a boat? Okay, but you know what? We can bring an inflatable raft, inner tube. There you go. Well, what about you, Isabel? What? Your provisions are provided for, so what was another thing other than your Bible? Your Bible's automatic. You don't know? Elena? Food's already provided. You might have to go out and gather it. You may have to kill animals or fish or... What? All right, you take mom. So the question is, if you're on an island, what would you bring? Besides a Bible. So let's just go. You don't know? You know?
My cat.
Your cat?
Yeah.
Okay.
A machete.
Machete. All right, well, my answer is this. I'd bring this.
Oh, we just changed my answer to a flare gun.
No. Swiss Army knife. Yes, because it could do a lot of things. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is what would happen? What if? You know, and we can always have these what if situations. What would you do? How would you do it? You know, start thinking about, you know, that. And this applies to your walk with Jesus Christ. As a believer in Christ, you got to think about how you're going to do this. And I break it down a little bit, and I said you can have your Bible with us. Many of us carry Bibles. Many of us have a phone that have a Bible app on it. Already have it. Some of us also have Bibles physically everywhere. So I have my digital Bible on my cell phone. You know, just when I'm at work, I can't, you know, if I need to look up a verse real quick, something comes to mind. I actually have a Bible in my car. And then I have this physical Bible as well. So a Bible is always given as you go through this. And I started thinking a little bit, why do I like my Swiss Army knife? This is not anything special. It is special to me, but if I threw it and gave it to Elias, he may lose it. He'll throw it in his tackle box. It might get dumped in the lake while he's fishing. It won't be personal to him, and that's okay, because it doesn't have something into it that means something to him. You can ask Brianna. I actually lost one of my Swiss Army knives and replaced it, and there's a specific one that I love. And believe it or not, we went out and found a Swiss Army knife, but it wasn't the same. And I actually was kind of grumpy and a bear. It was personal, and because it reminds me of certain things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. A couple weeks ago was Memorial Day weekend, where we honor those that have served and gave their life so we could have the freedom to worship our Lord. You know, that's very, very somber. It's very real. It's Memorial Day. It's not Veterans Day. That's a different holiday. But those that actually served in the military and gave their life. I grew up in a military family, and I want to kind of symbolize and why this ties into it, because it's actually biblical in principle, is my parents, both my mom and my dad and my stepmom, all served in the different branches of the military. They all know someone that have served, and they have died in preserving freedom. My dad served during the Vietnam War. There's people that he served with that have passed on while they're serving. My mom, same thing, and my stepmom as well. So it's very simple, you know, it's very important to remember why we were able to do certain things. And that's why Memorial Day is so important. And we're kind of going along that same lines. I'm remembering why I'm a Christian. And I'm going to break it down. This is why I'm going to have my Swiss Army knife out. I want to go through and kind of see the symbology. It reminds me. This knife does not do anything. This knife is not holy. It's not been blessed. We're not worshiping this knife. But it's a physical reminder of what it is to be a believer in Christ, to be a Christian. And we'll kind of go through and look at some of this. Okay? And that's what we're going to exercise today. So we will be jumping around in the Bible. We'll look at different passages. But I wanted to start with right here. When you look at the light, what's one of the first things you guys see in this knife? It's red. That's what I want to start with. It reminds me. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb, that we have our hope with our Lord. We have salvation through the Lord. And it's the red, it's the blood that Jesus Christ did with this. So if you open up your Bibles, the first thing we'll look at is, let's go to John. John 1. So the Gospel of John in John 1. As we talk about the sacrifice, you know, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you, you know, that's one of the traditional songs that the praise team sings, are you washed? And then, you know, it goes on, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? So the red shirt reminds me of the Lamb of God, which we see being declared here in John 1. And let me go through it. So we'll go through here. We'll jump down. The verse 6, so John 1, 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Notice that light is capitalized, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was set to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I go through here. This is establishing why Jesus Christ was sent to us. Continuing on here, in verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. In all his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou yourself? And he said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight for the way of the Lord, said the prophet Esaias. And they were which were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizeth thou then, if thou not be that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethrabah beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. All right. I'm just giving you guys a lot of backstory. There's a lot happening here. We're not going to break this part down. In continuing on in verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus becoming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what I wanted to get to. So I was setting that up to go there. We hear Jesus Christ referred to as the Lamb of God. Lambs were offered as sacrifices for our sins. Jesus Christ is going to fulfill that for us so we can have salvation. And it's through His sacrifice. So when you hear about Christ being the Lamb of God, the sacrifice He's going to do, you see red, that's the blood of Christ. So that does remind me of Jesus Christ. So it's just a physical reminder of what Christ has done for me. Again, this knife isn't holy. This knife isn't sanctified. It's not blessed. It's just a reminder of when I go through and put it in my pocket, I feel that weight in my pocket. You can ask my wife, and she will testify, I feel naked without my pocket knife. Very rarely do I go out without my pocket knife. The only other time I do not take it with me is when I'm traveling on an airplane or going into a government building. Those are the only times I don't, but I would say 90, 95% of the time, this knife is in my pocket. Even if I'm wearing shorts running around the house, this knife is in my pocket. It's a reminder. So that's that physical weight, knowing what Christ did for me there. So that's the blood. There's another part right here. It's kind of hard to see, but there's a little shield, and inside that is a cross. So let's jump over to Ephesians 6 for me, if you would. You know, what is special about a cross? Someone, anyone? Yes, it's the crucifix. You know, it was the tool that was used to torture our Lord. So, what? Yeah, go to Ephesians 6, please. And it's kind of fitting here. Today, I kind of mentioned it at the beginning of this. Today is what we call the shield ceremony. For the fifth graders, they're going to be promoted up to sixth grade. And they're going to be joining us starting Wednesday and next week. You know, we're going to go in here. And we talk about having the armor of God. But the one thing that we want to focus about is the shield. So I'll start here. And start in Ephesians 6:10. It says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So there's a little shield there, and on it is a cross. Again, this is just symbolic. It's a reminder when I look at my knife, oh, there's the shield of faith. It's going to protect me against the fiery darts of the wicked. And believe me, there is wicked in the world. And as you guys get older and experience it, you're going to see it day in and day out more often with it. So just kind of be aware. They're going to throw darts at you. They might be physical darts. They might be glances and glares and judgment looks. They may be comments, or they'll attack you on. There's just going to be different ways of the fiery darts. And when they say fiery darts, darts of anger. Think of it like that. So you have to have the shield of faith to continue going through this. You know, one of the cool things about the Swiss Army knife is it has different things here. And the one I want to show you, everyone knows about the knife. You know, there's a blade here. It's a sharp knife. It could be sharper. I'll be honest, I've kind of neglected my knife. So it still will cut really quick here. And you have to remember, and again, the thing I see the knife, I see the Word of God right here. We often refer to the Word of God as the sword. All right? A sword, you know, you said you wanted a machete if you were getting stranded on an island. That's like a sword. It's sharp. It's meant to go through, and it's to cut through here. So let's jump over to Hebrews 4:12, please. I told you it was going to be an exercise in the Bible. Hebrews 4, yes. I'm having a tough time with the AC unit, and I'm a little congested too, so bear with me if I'm having a tough time hearing you. I love this verse. When I read it, I have images of seeing guys with large broadswords or a Japanese samurai with his katana. I see that. I'll even go as far as when I see Star Wars and I see a Jedi or Sith Lord pull out a lightsaber and an electric sword. It's meant to slice. It's meant to go through here. And the movements are very specific here. Just like the Word of God is very specific. So when I see the pocket knife blade, it reminds me of this verse. And so right here, in verse 12 in Hebrews 4, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the dividing asunder of the soul, of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, I could do a lot with this knife, but again, it's not going to be able to go through the discerners of the thoughts and the heart intents of the intent of the heart. But it will let me cut through things. Remember, God is cutting through that darkness in our life that we call sin, and He's discerning that through this. And that's why we use the Word of God. This is a reminder saying, "Hey, wait a minute. I have a pocket knife. It's sharp, but God's word's even sharper. Sharper than anything you ever knew." I mean, imagine if you just looked at the sword, it can cut. That's how powerful and how sharp God's sword is. Again, it's a picture of this Bible. That's why I personally, this is what I get, you know, some of you guys will go, "Ray, you're just kind of being a fuddy-duddy, whatever. You don't understand." When I ask you to pick the Bible off the floor, this is a sword. This is sharp. Throwing this on the ground will dull the knife. Throwing your Bible on the ground will it's disrespectful in that way, but it also dirties it up. It also it wears out quicker. So when we ask you to put the Bibles away, it's not that, well, it is more than that, but just remember, your sword, if it's not kept, you know, in its sheath and it's not being used, you just throw it on the ground, it's going to become dull, it's going to become worn out, it's going to be tattered, and it's not going to be there for you when you need it the most. So when we ask you to put the Bibles away when we're done, there's that purpose in it. We want to protect right here. We want to have the longevity out of our blade, which is the sword, which is the Word of God. All right. Another thing that I like about my Swiss Army knife, and this kind of goes in here. So that big blade will go through and it'll do a lot of the cutting that I need to. But then I can go a little bit step further. I have scissors. This is sometimes where you just need to prune up some things in life. Sometimes you just need a little right here. Like the best one I had the other day is my daughter Meredith came up to me and said, "Hey, Dad, can you cut this tag off?" And it was off a stuffed animal. Well, I didn't want her to have the full knife. That's too much for what right there. So I have a little bit more focused blade. I can go in there and trim what is needed. They're not the best scissors in the world. They are sharp. It will cut. Again, it goes back to God's word. Sometimes you need that big slash to go through your life. And sometimes you just need a little trimming. That's what the scissors do with it. So that's, again, another tool to hear that reminds me of the Bible. It reminds me of what God's doing. So, again, that's the scissors. There's another tool in here. There's a couple of them that you work together with. And I kind of go through here. So I do have right here, it's also a screwdriver. So if you have a standard head screw, single slot, you can go in there. The good thing about those single slot screwdrivers, a lot of people don't realize it, they're limited in torque, how much torque can go in there when you're applying it to a screw. You can't overdo it if it's in there. If not, it'll strip out the screw head. You can only put so much torque in there. So you can use this tool to go in there and say, "Hey, we only need to make an adjustment here, just so much." So there's the screwdriver. The other part too, is there's a bottle opener here. This one doesn't have a can opener, but it does have a bottle opener. Now, a lot of people associate a bottle opener, unfortunately, with adult beverages.
I think it's cool. So
Yes. So, you know, one thing I see right here is like when you thirst, you remember the story in John 4. We're not going to go to it, but you remember when Jesus went up to the well and the lady in Samaria, he was going through there and he said, "Woman, give me water. You know, I thirst." And then, you know, he's going to give her living water. You remember that? So there's living water. So we have our Bible as, again, a reminder of what Christ has given to us. Living water. But occasionally you need something here. My favorite Coke to drink is actually Mexican Coca-Cola. So I actually go through. The reason it's different, it tastes different than American Coca-Cola. And it comes in bottles. And they come in bottles that don't have twist off. You actually have to use a bottle opener. So when you're thirsty, you can quench your thirst. You can quench your thirst with the Word of God here as well. So it's a reminder of that. Also one of my favorite sodas, I get at Menards. I have to go throw in there. I like the grape soda. And sometimes they're twist off. I have a tough time with it. So I dig this out and pop the lid off, with it. So when you need when you're thirsty, you have a way to quench that thirst, right there. There's also a little notch right here. A lot of people don't know this. I mean, I talked about trimming occasionally. And sometimes we just got to trim away some of the bad stuff in our life, you know, as we evaluate. And God's Word will do that, just like we read in the verse. You know, it can cut through the joint and marrow and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's another part of this. I've done some electrical work in the past. My background is mostly electronics. But that little knock along with the blade right there, you can actually stick a 12-gauge wire and let it collapse on itself, spin it around, and you have a wire stripper. So you can remove some of the bad things in your life with this. And remember, again, it's through the focus and the Word of God. So again, these are all tools that help me remind me in my walk, right there. And again, it's just a physical reminder, just like we had with Memorial Day. Now, there are a couple other things inside of here. You know, a lot of people always joke about, you know, Swiss Army knives. They have tweezers right here. They're hard to see, but this has saved us a couple times.
That's the most important.
It is one of them, yes. Right here. So there's the tweezers. If you would, jump over to Matthew 13 in your Bible, please. Yes.
Matthew
13, yep. All right, so this is the, you know, the parable of the sower. You know, when we talk about a sower, someone has sowing seeds, farmer. I'm right here. And I'll start in verse 3. We'll kind of go through here. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sown, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth." So they had shallow soil. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. And a thorn sprung up and choked them. But others fell into some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let them hear. And the reason I say this, the seeds thrown into the thorns. All right, so at our house we have a lot of rose bushes. I love roses. They're really a pretty flower. The thing with roses is they have thorns, if you ever dealt with those. I actually have cuts in down my legs from a couple of weeks ago. We were out there trimming out the roses, and I didn't wear full protection. I got scraped up. Occasionally, the thorns will land in your hand. They become an irritant, right? You ever had a sliver or something in there? The tweezers is a picture of what God will do. He'll, you know, sometimes you have to go through this, but you can use the tweezers to pull that thorn, that sliver out right there. And he lets the healing begin. So I love the tweezers in this. So this is, like Nick said, that's probably one of the best things. It's also one of the first things that get lost in the Swiss Army knife if you ever had one, if you let people use it.
In forest, I think it's a little
Mine's missing. So another one is, you think about this, we talk about irritation. So you ever get a sliver or a thorn or something, it's an irritant. It bothers you. Is it life or death? No, but does it annoy you? Yes. How do we deal with it? We take it an approach and we need to pray about it, and then we can use the tools to extract it. That's a good reminder. The other one is the toothpick.
That's the one I said was the best.
Oh, you said the toothpick's the best? Yeah, you can do this. The thing is you don't share it with anyone else. This is not hygienic. I don't use this one that often, but I do. It's there. Again, you get food in between your teeth. It's an irritant. So it's a reminder, hey, how do we deal with irritants? How do we go through with it? We just kind of get it out of the way and continue on. Now, this knife, this is the one knife I like about here. And you may occasionally see me do this. Like today, I forgot to bring a pen, a writing utensil. I actually do have an ink pen, and it does work. Again, sometimes you need to write down a thought to kind of sort through things as you go through that. Remember, when you pray to the Lord, it helps you sort. When you write things down, it helps you get organized. That's what God does with you through the Holy Spirit, is He will let you, if you pray, but sometimes you need to express yourself. You may not have an ink pen with you or a pencil. So I have one here as I need to. It is a source of discussion when you sit in meetings and you pull it out. And people are like, well, I forgot my pen, so I have this. I'm prepared. It's awkward. It looks weird, but it functions. Kind of like a Christian. We look weird to others. We look weird to the world. If you think about it, we're different. We do things, but we function. And we function worshiping the Lord. Again, it's another picture and a reminder of what's going inside of here. As we kind of wrap up, there are a couple other tools left. I'll just start with this one. This one is a little hook. You're like, what is this for?
I don't know.
Zip line. No, it's not. But actually, it's less and less now because of the age of plastic that we live in and technology. But twine. You used to wrap bundles of wood or bundles of things together. You would wrap it with twine. But you know, if you hold twine, it's rough and it can cut into your hand. You use that little hook to hold onto the twine and you got a handle. What?
I like zipline.
Yeah. I imagine MacGyver could do something with that. But that's not a big wire. But that, again, it's a hook to help you carry. Remember, God has got you as well. He's going to carry you through this. God is not going to forsake you. God is not forsaking you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I have to get to share that. You're not forsaken. He's going to help you with a handle and help lift you up. So that's a reminder. Also on it, it's hard to see, but there is a little rough surface here. So sometimes things get a little rough around the edges. Just a little light buffing right there, a little file to help smooth it over. I'll say this. I broke a nail working on something. Tear it off, but you got to still smooth it over, dig it out. I've done that on camping trips and canoe trips. You know, that's what's the file there. So it can help smooth over the situation you may need to. Now, would I use this to try to escape out of jail with metal bars? No. I wouldn't have this anyway if I was in jail. So there's something to kind of be a reminder of that is we can use this. Another tool, a couple tools here in one, is a corkscrew. Now, it's far and few between. You think about a corkscrew, you think of a wine bottle inside there, to preserve it. They used to do that with other fluids as well, water, anything else. And you can screw it in, it can help use it to pull things out. I've used it for other situations when I was carving or anything like that. I would use the corkscrew. And then the next one I want to throw in there, this one's a little bit harder to see, but it fits within the corkscrew, is a little bitty screwdriver. Now, the only two people that wear glasses in here are my wife and I. But you know what? We have to adjust our glasses. We have to adjust them frequently. This helps us because if our glasses are not adjusted right, they're not tight, we can't focus and see well. So this helps us adjust and see inside of here. And actually, I can just pull it off. I always, since I have to wear glasses, I can just go in here and tighten the screws as I need to. And I'm off to the races. In fact, Rand's always going to come in over here. I've actually used this a couple times. I didn't have my tool set with me. I have, since again, I have a background in electronics. I would dig this out and I would make adjustments to electrical equipment. When my time in AV, I would help use this to dial in some different frequencies on our in-ear transmitters so you can listen in. So this is a good screwdriver to help make adjustments. Again, it reminds me of what God can do in your life. There's always going to be some adjustments here. Now, there's one other tool that I missed in here. I lost it. My knife has seen some abuse over the years. I've managed to keep this one for now almost 10 years since we moved into Harrisonville. So it's rough, but there's one tool here that's kind of missing. There was actually a pin, and we're talking like not a safety pin, but an actual pin. So if I ever needed a straight pin, thank you, a straight pin to help hold things together. So if I ever needed to sew anything out in the field or anything, I could use a straight pin to help hold it together. Or the thorns, exactly. I could use it to help pull out the thorns. So this is my Swiss Army knife. Again, I even went so far with my laser burner and engraved my name on it just so that everyone knows that it's mine. But again, that's personal to me. And I go through with this again. I mention it over and over again. It sits in my pocket. I feel it. There's a physical weight. It doesn't weigh much. It's just a few ounces, but it's enough to know, oh, wait, when I sit down in my chair at my desk at work, oh, God's with me, you know. It reminds me of what I am as a new creature in Christ. I'm with it, you know. And again, it helps remember what I'm supposed to be doing. A lot of people don't remember that. It's easy to forget, but if you have a physical reminder, it stops there. You know, and it's not many different. You know, you see people, you'll see other Christians, they'll wear a cross around their neck. Inside there. So that helps them remember, and that's why they wear it around their neck. At least that's what I was told by some. I don't wear the cross around my neck. And the reason they do that is it's close to the heart, and it helps remind them. So if that helps you remember to be a Christian, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just to remember. It doesn't do anything. It's not going to ward off vampires or anything like that, like you see in the movies. Other people you'll see, they may get tattoos to remember who they are. And there's nothing wrong with that. Tattoos are not my thing, and I'm not encouraging you to get a tattoo, but I'm also not saying it's forbidden. But some people do that. There's a dear brother, he went through and he actually got tattoos in the spots where Christ was crucified as a reminder. So again, other people will put Bible verses on their arms or legs or whatever. I have friends that have done that as well. If that's what you need to do to help remember, then so be it. You know, it's the act of remembrance. Another one that I've seen people do, and I put it on their cars. That one I kind of struggle with, because it's really quick. You give a bad testimony as a Christian with people's driving, mine included. I'm not above anyone. I become a road warrior with it, and that's why I don't advertise my faith. I don't want to give Christ a black eye because I'm driving like an idiot up I-49. And when I say an idiot, driving excessively, excessive speed. So I struggle. Believe it or not, Brianna, every time I drive with the family, I'm like the old guy. No, but when I'm driving to work, it's like it's race car driving. So that's, you know, but some people do that, and that's fine if they're actually going to be honoring the Lord and remember that they're believers. So there's other things that you can do as you do that. People wear T-shirts, perfectly fine. That's why we sell T-shirts for church functions, is to remember, hey, I'm a believer in Christ, and it helps hold me accountable. I'm actually conscious about when I wear my shirts from church. It helps me remember. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I have to stop and think. I can't just be caught up in the moment. So whatever it takes to go through there to help remember that you're a new creature in Christ, as long as it doesn't become your focus, but it helps remind you what God's doing in your life, you know, think about it. What helps you become, that reminds you of who you are, is where we want to go with this. All right. Any questions on that? All right. So let's go ahead. Let's pray it up. We'll be dismissed. We'll go on into the service, and we'll have a great day. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you do in our lives. You know, Lord, we talked about remembrance. Lord, we just celebrated Memorial Day a couple weeks ago. And Lord, just allow something to be in the hearts of the youth here, Lord, just so they can remember who they are as a new creature in Christ. Lord, we just ask you to lift up Pastor Brian as he brings forth the message today. We do all this in your great and holy name. Amen.